turned from Jinichi. She wound deeper into the alleyways dividing the poor quarter at the city's edge, like capillaries snaking through frozen flesh, seeking her goal with all seven senses alert. That tingling, that tracery of magic which tantalized her perception. When she paused at the junction of six narrow entrances, yet another Byzantine variation on the general lack of formal town planning in this area, Flicker murmured,
"Second opening to your left paw, Strawhead."
"Oh, don't come out and look," she snipped back, prodding his flank gently.
"No point in frittering away my reborn fire life in this icy wasteland," he complained, "especially not when you're warm enough to toast bread."
Hualiama chuckled quietly, padding deeper into the increasingly polluted, ill-used lanes. As a human girl, not so much as a whisker above 5 feet in height, she might have feared trouble in these narrow quarters. As a dragoness in her own right, pity any rogue foolish enough to accost her. Her inner dragoness appeared to preen in her mind's eye. "Exercise my beautifully honed talons? Most certainly." "You stay put, my fierce beauty. We need these Imadians for allies, not talon fodder." Predatory laughter shivered her soul. Flicker, in his second incarnation, a perfect ice dragonet of just 1 foot in length, with a delicate white-pink muzzle and button-sized fire eyes, added blithely,
"Besides, any creature that operates at my habitual levels of awesomeness, season in and season out, does require his restorative sleep. Wake me when something interesting happens, my darling conveyance. And, by the first egg, will you refrain from jostling the royal hide? I'm a sensitive soul. Quite aside from being so exceedingly handsome, it insults mere mortals."
As the dragonet prattled, she prowled. That elusive thread of fate magic led her eventually to a locked cellar door, just one of tens upon this street. Her heart twitched within her chest, as if she held Flicker beneath her ribcage and not beneath her cloak. "All right, Jin, saboteur extraordinaire. Time to see if his teachings were worth a brass drawl." Placing her hands on the solid jalkwood door, Leah concentrated. 5 minutes later, she smiled and stepped back, then twizzled her neck. Good. She threw the deadbolt from the outside, picked two unusual padlocks, oiled the hinges with a touch of grease borrowed from a nearby refuse pile, and with a touch of magic, painstakingly drew aside and laid down a dagger placed so as to drop if the door was opened, without the slightest scraping of metal. After this, she sweated over the lock for a further 10 minutes, rueing the loss of her lockpicks, before her magical senses finally worked out the combination of levers and tumblers, and a soft, satisfying snick advertised the success of her work. For a poor family, they had excellent taste in locks. Stolen from a rich house? Leah grinned, easing the door open soundlessly. She slipped inside. Darkness. Breathing. She heard two persons sleeping beside the fireplace, one set of lungs wheezing weakly, and the other young and strong. The third breather stood to her right hand, and judging by the creak of the bowstring and the feverish gallop of the heart that had tweaked those fingers and muscles, she knew her ingress had been discovered. How? She rapped, "Wait! I'm a friend." Twang. Her left hand snapped out. "Nice catch, human soul," her dragoness approved. "You know that was your work, gorgeous dragoness," she returned. Conversation at the speed of thought. Hualiama opened her other palm, willing a small flame into being. "I am a friend," she repeated, deliberately calm. "I'd like to talk."
"How did you..."
"How?" squeaked the would-be archer.
"Zanya, wake up! The guards found us!"
The girl beside the fire had already sat up, her hair like flowing sable in the dim light.